And to another British drama or two, New Zealander Jessica Hobbs' name has been large on the credits. She's just won the Best Director, the Director of the Year Award at the Women in Film and Television Awards in London. And the already much awarded Jessica Hobbs has been working on The Crown Season 3 and has UK series Broadchurch, Apple Tree Yard, which was really good if you caught that one, and The Split on her CV. She was already regarded as one of Australia's top TV drama directors when she went to the UK and she got her first full director's gig on Heartbreak High, worked on The Slap and Rake. Jessica Hobbs, whom the Australians claim as one of theirs just because she went there from New Zealand 25 years ago, joins me now on Skype. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Kim.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. And that was incredibly fascinating, listening to the Brexit conversation, having lived through the last 24 hours.
As the sun sets on another day, or has set long ago in London, how's it all feeling there?
Sad, I would say. Perhaps it's because I'm in the creative arts and the general feeling in our industry is much more leaning towards Remain. So that's been difficult, and a vacuum of leadership in a more liberal end of thinking, and that's what people, I think, are really struggling with, which is, I think, what I was hearing on the end of the interview.
I was thinking about that scene in The Crown where the Queen greets Harold Wilson, thinking that he's a rather grubby little lefty, and comes and comes rather to love him. Did you direct that episode?
I did the ending where he tells her he has Alzheimer's and she invites him to come back for tea, which I really loved with Jason. It's beautiful.
So what do you mean? You did the end of that episode but not the beginning of it?
No, I did the episode. I did the final episode. So Wilson goes throughout the series.
Yes.
And I think when she first meets him is in episode one, she's introduced to him.
Oh, so you did that.
Seven and ten.
I gotcha.
Yes.
So
I did his denouement. I quite like doing the endings. They're great. You get a lot of satisfaction, a lot of things coming together. I did the moon landing one and really the one between the two sisters, which is Margaret's affair with Roddy, the end of Wilson, and the scene between the two sisters at the end between the Queen and Margaret.
How is it working on The Crown?
It's the best thing, Kim, I've ever done. I'm not being paid to say that. It is a brilliant experience. Wonderful people, incredibly supportive, really well-resourced, and really interesting material. As a New Zealander coming on to something like this, you have a full research team, and each decade you can kind of go into the details and the specifics of what you're doing within your episodes. I've never worked on something of this scale before, and I'm relishing it.
You have worked on historical drama before, of course. In Australia, there was Curtain and Devil's Dust, I think.
Yes.
So you're accustomed to having to condense years of information into some kind of shorthand for the viewer. I guess the issue with The Crown is that everybody thinks they know quite a lot. So the heavy lifting's done for you to some extent?
I think so. I always think the trick with drama is, I think there's two things for me. You don't really want to be preaching to the converted. So whenever you're approaching something, I'm thinking there's a lot of people who will already tune into this, who will already be on side, who will be open to it. I'm always interested in reaching people in the political end of things who might be able to shift their thinking or look at things in a different way. And even on something like The Crown, it's how can we personally get under the skin, say with Prince Philip, I don't know, in the moon landing episode, is there any way we can have some kind of empathy or interest in him as a figure that perhaps people haven't really paid too much attention to except on a kind of broad scale before. So that's what I find interesting about it.
Is it the truth or is it fiction?
It's completely in between the two. There's a lot of truth and there's, you know, some fictional threads, I would say, because there's condensing of timelines. There's a huge amount done. And so what the research team will give you is you'll know where things, where events have been condensed and where things have been laid across. And then you'll also know where we know that this meeting happened. We don't know exactly what happened, but we know what happened either side of it. And this is the way Peter's decided to draw a line through it.
Peter Morgan, the
writer.
And
I find that really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Peter Morgan, who's brilliant and you know, scary and very fascinating to work with, very incisive mind. But what he's also great about is he's a really economical writer. He writes these extraordinary emotional spines, and then he leaves you a huge amount of visual scope. You know, he'll say, oh, you do that. You fix out how that's going to look. And you're like, okay, great. So he really gives you a lot of freedom in that visual end of the storytelling. And he wants you to surprise him and to enhance it. So often we'll shoot scenes or sequences that we might not have, you know, we've kind of talked to him about, but he's not really sure about. Then he'll come in and have a look and he'll be like, okay, great, fantastic. Or that's what you hope is the outcome.
Did the Queen or any other member of the royal family have to give the okay for any of the Crown?
No, it's a historical drama based on events that have happened. It doesn't need to be cleared by them.
So where's it shot?
Oh, it's shot all over. It's shot all around England. It's shot in Scotland. It's shot in Spain. It's shot in South Africa.
Is it shot at royal family residences?
No, it is shot at residences that resemble the royal family.
Fair enough.
Yes, and we, as we're getting closer to the future, that is becoming, not the future, as we're getting, as the past is getting closer,
yes,
it is becoming perhaps more challenging some of those locations because we are getting closer to the family members who are very much in the picture now. And so sometimes we're finding certain places are a little more hesitant, but a lot of places are still being very open to what we're doing. There's a lot of love for the show, even within the kind of royalist end of things. We have a lot of royal advisors who work with us who are brilliant.
When Helena Bonham Carter presented the award to you the other night, she called you her favourite director.
And she did.
I don't think she's prone to, you know, euphemisms or exaggerations. What is it that you do that actors like?
I think, well, particularly in the case of Helena, but I really try and do it as a practice, I give them space. I spend a lot of time with them before on the floor talking about the story I'm trying to tell, and then getting them to talk about the story they're wanting to tell. So we're trying to marry those two ideas. And I like to give them a lot of freedom and a lot of input into what we're doing, what we're trying to create. And then at the same time, I'll say to them sometimes, there's a visual moment I want to get here. Are you on board with this? Are you okay if I kind of, you know, manage you in this moment? And they're like, yep, fine, as long as they've been given the freedom in the other areas. And I think that's what Helen has talked about a lot. She does an enormous amount of research, but she wants to feel secure and that she has freedom on the floor when we're doing it. And I always, you know, let her take the reins off, as it were.
I'm sorry to concentrate on The Crown, but it is so interesting and it is such a great series. And I know you've done all sorts of other fascinating things that if we had much more time, we would talk about. We would talk about The Slap, you know, we would talk about Rake and so on. But just going back to The Crown for a moment, you had the difficult job. Season 3, of course, had the new cast, Olivia Colman and Tobias Menzies and the aforementioned Helena Bonham Carter, all of whom are up for Golden Globes, I should say.
It's fantastic.
Very, very
so
good.
They were so overjoyed him. Yeah.
But did you worry, and indeed, did you worry about the audience taking to the new cast, and has the audience taken to the new cast?
Going backwards, the audience have completely taken to the new cast and we were petrified. Every day we shot, every day we talked about it. We, you know, and I know from Peter's end, that was a huge risk and I thought a brilliant thing to do, but really not a practice that, you know, you don't suddenly halfway through Mad Men decide to change the cast for the next decade of storytelling. I thought it was a brilliant idea, but you never know whether it's going to go through. And I know for the actors, they really needed to find a way that they could inhabit it. The really beautiful thing that happened is that the previous cast and the new cast had contact with each other and the kind of blessings were given. So I think they felt free to move ahead. Helena and Olivia were very funny at times, saying we're playing the middle-aged versions. We'd quite like to play the younger, glamorous one.
Yeah.
And the same for, you know, for Tobias. He said, I don't want to be too aware of what Matt did because I need to kind of find my own Philip. And I think that's what, you know, I really, personally, I really applaud the show for doing that. They're not doing a kind of continuation of the previous performance. They're doing their own version of what those characters are at this stage of their lives.
What is the idea of having multiple directors on the one program, the one series?
Partly, I mean, it takes, so for me doing two episodes, that's a year's work. So if you spread that out over 10 episodes, it would take way too long to finish the show.
Two episodes is a year's work.
It's a year's work on a show like this. So from the beginning, time I start pre-production to the time I completely finish and can walk away having graded, mixed all the music, done all the composition and things, that's a year's work.
Is this the most absorbing of any show you've ever worked on, then?
They're all incredibly absorbing, but this has,
I mean,
this
time absorbing.
More time.
Yes,
it is. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's because you've got more time, you can really go into huge amounts of detail. I did think we'd have more time shoot. I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a luxury. It's still, you know, you still move at a relatively fast pace on set. That's to do with the logistics of the program. You know, you've got two directors generally shooting at the same time in different parts of the country, and you're both trying to share casts, share locations, make sure things are still fitting in. So that's where the complications comes in, because of the scale of it.
How much latitude do you have for creativity, given that Peter Morgan's such a fabulous writer and has done the script?
A huge amount, and I really take my hat off to him. And when he said that to me at the beginning, he sat down when we had our first meeting and he said, listen, at the end of the day, it's going to be you and me sitting in a cutting room and we're going to decide what the final film is. And I was like, okay. And I did walk away, Kim, and think, people have said that before and it's not true. But actually, it was true. It was brilliant. I remember we sent the moon landing episode off to Netflix for their notes, and we got a note back that just said, phenomenal, exclamation mark. And I thought, I'm going to frame that.
Wow, yes. In
30 years of working, I have not had a response.
You have like approximately 10 seconds to tell me what's next on your worksheet.
The Crown Season 4.
Say that again.
The Crown Season 4. I'm already doing it.
Oh, you're doing Crown Season 4. Yes, who's going to play Princess Diana?
Emma Corrin, and she's wonderful. Complete unknown and extraordinary.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much for talking to us, and congratulations and good luck. Jessica Hobbs.